Welcome to the Playful Spirituality Podcast, a place to reconnect to spirit, to reclaim your unbridled wildness, and to bring you home to you. I'm Cara Viana, and I'm honored to be on this adventure with you. This is a place to discover your magic and your superpowers. And yes, you definitely have them. It's designed to tap you into the unconditional love and support flowing to you, and to help you access that wild, unbridled joy that we so often lose touch with. You can expect all sorts of resources, from spiritual and practical tools and teachings to guided meditations and energy healing. We'll have some special guests and even some live readings. This show is for all of us who are humaning, to help you navigate this ride of life. If you are open to a little more support, more ease, a broader connection to the universe and to yourself, then stay tuned and find out what might be possible with an infusion of playful spirituality. Hi, everyone. Welcome. I have a special guest for you today, and I'm really looking forward to this. We've actually been chatting for like an hour, and for the fun catch-up part, and now we get to hop in and have some of the conversation to share with all of you. I want to introduce you to my beloved friend, Emily Castle. We have been friends for many, many years. I don't remember how long, maybe you do, but it's been a long time in friendship and in business and in life. Our paths cross a lot, and it makes me really happy every time they do. There are really only like a couple of business coaches in the world that I refer people to, and she is one of them. I have the utmost admiration and respect for her work in the world, and she has this incredible superpower that I've watched from the beginning. I don't even think this was, you know, those superpowers that we have that are like, we never even had to think about it. We didn't have to try. There was no practice or cultivation or learning. And one of hers, and every time I watch her do this, I'm just like spellbound, is that she can listen to a person talk. It's true. I remember sitting in the coffee shop with you or the restaurant the first time I watched you do this. And I was like, oh my gosh. So she has this ability to listen to a person talk, just ramble or whatever, and like hear what they've got. And I don't know what I'm doing with my life and my business, my purpose and whatever. And then she just goes, oh, well, and just lays out this entire incredible, like right off the cuff, whole business plan that's truly aligned with your soul. It's remarkable. It's so much fun to see it happen. And every time I've gotten to witness it, I'm like, it's just like the heavens open up and you just channel this whole business a person never even thought of or never thought how they could put these parts of themselves together or didn't know what to do or had this idea, but it was like not working. And you just see it. Like you can see it as if it's like a dimension that no one else can see, but you can see. And I love that. So that's my quick introduction. I want you to tell a little bit more about what you do in the world.
And thank you for that. Thank you. It's so cool to see and hear. I'm always just blown away by the power of reflection in female friendships and in sisterhood. And it's part of why I incorporate that into the work that I do and the way that I serve people, because it is so powerful to feel and hear and see yourself. Like, as you were saying that, I was like, what is she going to say is my like superpower? I don't know. I forgot. What is it? You know? And I think having those reminders as much as possible helps us really see ourselves in ways that we can't alone, you know? So thank you for that. And my clients do say often, they're like, wow, I don't know how you like took all of that like babble and made it into something, because to me that just felt like I was rambling and making no sense. Like, okay. So I guess to start, what I actually do with people is I help them to create a more harmonious business ecosystem. And the way that I've been thinking about that lately and the way that my business has really been evolving over the last 6 months or so is different than the way that I was thinking about it and talking about it before, but it just makes so much sense to me in a way that is so internal and integrated that I'm not sure, like the language that I use or the specifics of the way it's packaged or whatever really feels that different for people on the outside, but on the inside, I'm like, aha, this is the thing. So basically what I do is I help people, to women specifically, to design business structures and models and offers and pricing and all of the pieces that go along with it, marketing, messaging, you name it, the whole shebang, everything it takes to really create a healthy business ecosystem that's thriving and symbiotic with your life, and develop the leadership skills necessary to be able to lead that business and run that business and guide that business and be the vessel for that business as a leader. And to do all of that in a way that's super sustainable and regenerative, that doesn't burn you out, that doesn't feel like it has a cap on it, that doesn't feel like, oh, well, you know, it can only be me, like to really look at the bigger picture and see how can this thing evolve and change and grow as you evolve and change and grow, because you are a complex system. Your business is a complex system. And in order for those things to continue to evolve and change, which they inevitably will, they need to be set up accordingly and to be able to relate to one another in a way that is supportive to the whole, and not just, how can I make $100,000 in this one launch one time? It's more like, how can I do my life's work that I was put on this earth to do consistently and in a way that feeds and nourishes me energetically and spiritually and in the rest of my life and the different things that I'm interested in and the different things that I want to become and the different hats I want to wear and my different curiosities in life, my different roles as they evolve and change, whether that means becoming a mother or getting married or moving somewhere different or switching from like a nomadic solopreneur to running a team of 10 people, right? Like all of these different changes that happen in these sort of like inevitabilities of the growing pains of evolution, how do we address them and hold them and manage them and make decisions that are aligned with the vision and the mission of what it is that we're doing without having the whole thing fall apart. And so in short, that's what I help people do. And I do that through, I don't even know if we've talked about this, Kara, but basically what's happening right now at this moment in my business's evolution is that I'm shifting from doing everything as just me, Emily, like as a personal brand, and really moving everything under the umbrella of Woman Up, which is a company that I've started and in the last year, and is really all about lifting and leveling women up in business life and leadership in all the ways. And right now I'm sort of in like phase one of building it, which is like a community, an intensive, and a mastermind, which are kind of the things that I've been doing for a long time, but have been really refined and repackaged in a way to fit under this new structure and this new ecosystem. And there's so much more to come. And there's this rich, thriving, like multidimensional community that we've built with skill building and trainings, all these fun things. And then there's also work with me, and then there's the mastermind. So there's so much happening. And what I can say about it is, in this moment, it just feels really right and feels really good. And I want that for everybody. I want all of us to feel that about the work that we're doing in the world, because it does take a lot of our time and energy. And it is something that, you know, is going to be with us for a really long time, a really significant part of our life, hopefully, if we're doing the right work that's truly aligned. So that's me in a nutshell.
I love hearing you get to talk so clearly about this new piece, because I've gotten to witness like the evolution as mm-hmm. you were going through the like, something needs to shift. This isn't, I'm like, I've built this great successful business and I can feel something shifting, and the like mm-hmm. itchiness of like, okay, like the exoskeleton has cracked and I'm like, mm-hmm. get it off feeling as you were evolving. And I thought really beautifully and gracefully and openly and honestly about, okay, I'm calling in something else as the next iteration of my business, because our businesses are alive and breathing. Like they are these right. energetic things that are constantly evolving and changing. You don't just create it and then it's done. And so because they're so tied to us too, they're doing that at a pace that matches our growth and healing and journey right? So to watch mm-hmm. you create this thing, and I love that it you're helping people get to a place where their businesses or their work in the world are more sustainable to them, because I think what we do inwardly amplifies outwardly. And whenever we're creating something that's more sustainable for us, for our energy, for our life, for our, you know, like making sure that we can still have hobbies, making sure that we can still do things, not just mm-hmm. be in the space of depletion of everything. We're so mm-hmm. much more likely to be creating that in the world as well. And it's shifting out of this business as like a bigger, 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 harder, faster, like use it up, burn it up kind of energy into a space of like, what if I created something that could be self-containing and self-sustaining and mm-hmm. benefiting me and my life and the people that I work with and the world? Mm-hmm. And that has to start first and foremost with me. So yes. I think that what you're doing is actually really beautiful work for the world as well mm-hmm. on a big scale.
Yeah, there's so much to that. It's sort of like this microcosm, macrocosm of where we need to go as a world, right? To build more sustainable systems, to look to the models that exist in nature, for example, of how things can be done in a harmonious way that isn't about depletion, but is about sustaining all the different parts of the ecosystem. And really it's interesting. Like this is the background. This is what I studied in school was sustainable food systems and psychology and marketing. So it's like, I've known it's all there for a long time, but it's like, oh, there's like been a click more recently where I'm like, oh yeah, like there is something here. And I think what I was calling like soulful or spiritual or feminine before is really about like modeling nature's wisdom more than it is about these sort of like Mother Nature is feminine. Mother yeah. Nature, there is a soul of that. There is a spiritual component because we don't really understand as humans all the intricacies of the web of how it all works together. There's so much to know, you know, like the soil feedback systems of the roots and all of the things and how the trees talk to each other about disease and what happens when you plant a certain thing. Suddenly the exact pollinators show up out of nowhere. They weren't there before. Now they're here. How the hell did they find that? I don't understand. There is like a mystery to how all of those things work together, how birds just know something within them where to go. In the winter, like how do they know that? They don't have like an internal, like there's not like a GPS technology installed, right? Like that's, it's just so wild beyond what we as humans can even conceive. And yet like the business, the way that we think about business today is so much based on like the Industrial Revolution, which really is such a narrow, unsustainable, like harmful approach in every way, whether it's to the individuals who are actually carrying out that system or the earth, right? Like the depletion of that process is just, ugh, like, why are we basing building businesses that are meant to be helpful in the world and we want to see sustain for a long time? Why are we internalizing those systems that suck the life out of everything and everyone and drain everything? Like why we get to do this as entrepreneurs anyway, right? Like we get to choose exactly what ecosystem we're going to create, what are the elements we're going to include? How are we going to put these things together? How are we going to show up in it? How are we going to connect the dots? How are we going to talk about it? Like we get to make all of those key choices. And when we're just operating from like what we've seen done, there's no innovation and nothing is different, right? We end up recreating the same patterns again and again. And as we know, with healing, with psychology, with this sort of like inner work, the goal is not do the same thing and expect a different result. The goal is change the system, update the operating system internally, and the results change. The byproduct is more abundance, more sustainable solutions, a different reality, right? And so really like applying the same theory, if you will, to business in this way is really the work that I'm up to at the moment. And it's just really like, I have chills talking about it. It's just so beautiful to watch how things start to transform and change for people. And honestly, the shifts are much more subtle. And then the results are like way bigger than you would think by doing things, by like doing less, right? And that's what a sustainable system does. It's like, there's no wasted energy anymore. And I think we don't realize how much energy and time and brain space we are wasting by constantly like hustling and trying to find solutions to problems that don't even exist, instead of getting to the root of what's actually going on and then like reworking the ecosystem from there. There's so much. I could talk about this forever. So we'll move on.
I really think this is the next iteration of where we're going as humans. I think this is the leading edge of what we are calling in.
We don't really have another option. This sort of like return to indigenous wisdom and, you know, the way of nature and letting nature lead is the solution to almost everything. Like biomimicry is a big thing. Biophilic communities are starting to pop up. There's so much like designing based on nature. I mean, it's so wild to me that this is only like clicking for me now, because when I think about it, I'm like, oh yeah, I went to Costa Rica for the first time to study like sustainable architecture, even though that was completely outside of my major. Like, there's no reason I would have done that, you know? It's just, it's interesting how our life weaves itself.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And I always say that your higher self is like taking you on this path, and it's never a straight line. Like, I'm driving from California to New York. So we think, okay, well, if we're headed to New York, like straight shot across the country, and your higher self is your navigator, and your higher self's like, hey, go here. Okay, go there. Okay, we're in Nevada. Loop down to Texas. Now we're going to do the circle all the way around Kansas for some reason. And then we're going back over to, and you're like, this is the wrong direction. My life is going in the wrong direction. Nothing is working. Everything is a failure, because you had this idea of New York, but your higher self is planning a million steps ahead of you. Your higher self is doing what exactly, like, so you can stand in this place now of looking back and being like, whoa, this makes so much sense. So your higher self is like, all right, we're going to need her to study sustainable food systems, because in 10 years time or 15 years time or whatever, she's going to need this particular. So get her excited about that. But then we're going to pivot right after college so that she can do business, because she's going to need to learn these things, but we're going to have her learn business in this way. Then we're going to have, and so it's like, it looks erratic. Our lives look so erratic when we're truly following inspiration. Like, we're all over the place. And then we think, why did I take that weird basket weaving class? Like, why did I go study? Like, what am I doing? Why would this be a thing? And then for my higher self just to loop me back around and be like, great, now you're doing this. And you're like, that's where I started. But it's not. At some point, you're going to look back in hindsight and be like, whoa, that all tied in.
It's so cool. That's like the moment I'm in right now, where I'm like, oh, this is what I've been building all along. It feels different though. Like, it's completely different. And I think also just this like common thread of sisterhood and women and all women's college and all of that stuff. I mean, it's just all so important. Like, the things that we think, and really it comes down to like all of these different choices that we make throughout our life to stay in alignment, right? Or like to get closer to alignment, like the decision to, like, I could have chosen to go to any kind of school, but I didn't. I chose this exact one that had a focus on sustainability and was all women. Like, crazy. Like, we're always being set up. We're just like being like queued up for the next thing we're going to need. And I think that's a really beautiful thing, that when we look at it in retrospect, we're like, oh, I can trust. It's safe. It's safe to trust my life unfolding and not having to know everything and not having to understand exactly why this piece is here and why that one is there and all of it. And I think really, like, what I sense is that, like, all of life, just like an ecosystem, is about, like, it's only a system because of the relationships that exist between each part of that system and how they all relate and connect to each other. And when we think this sort of like systems thinking approach to a sustainable system, we can look at that in our life in any way and realize that like what actually makes life worthwhile and fulfilling and interesting is the relationships between all of the individual components. It's not just like, oh, I have a car. It's like how I feel about my car and what that car allows me to do. In my case, like I bought a really fun like convertible recently last year. And it's like, I get to experience the place that I live so much differently driving a convertible. Like it's just, it's awesome. You know, before it was like a Honda Civic and I didn't care and it didn't matter and whatever. And now the relationship between me and my car is like a whole thing. It's like a love fest in there. You know, it's like, I can sing at the top of my lungs and like be, I mean, it's just like an expression of freedom and an expression of my values to have a car, like the exact car that I have, or like the college example of choosing that one. It's about the relationship between it, right? And it's about how it all fits into the bigger picture of your life. So I think we're going to talk about this, but it's like, yes, you know, relationships, like business is relationships. They say that when it comes to marketing and sales, and that's true, but also it's beyond that. It's deeper and bigger than that. It's relationships between you and how you feel about every little part of what you're doing. And if there's a part that's just like off, that can throw off the whole thing. And you'll be like, why is nothing working? And it's, you know, the ways we dishonor how we actually feel and what we actually think, and the ways that we just kind of like gloss over these really important factors of how we're relating to each individual segment of any ecosystem in our life or in our business is such a disservice to us actually like evolving and continuing to grow and thrive.
Oh, I love this. And then being able to sit in the place where you can actually trust your intuition, your higher self, guiding you on this zigzag pattern, partly because it's so good. When you can sit in that space of trust, it's so good. But also, if you had known all those years before that this is what you were doing, you would have ripped yourself off of this feeling. I'd say to the universe all the time, like, don't tell me. No. Like, here I am, this total intuitive. And I'm like, I don't ask questions about my future. I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me. Because I love the surprise of it so much. I know it's going to mm-hmm. be bigger than anything I asked for. I know it's going to be nothing I could have imagined. The unfolding of it, when I have those moments where I get to see the pieces fall into place, the domino, and for a second I get to like look back and be like, what? You did what? You're amazing. Yeah. That's my favorite.
Yeah. It's like opening a gift.
Yes, it is.
There's maybe some benefit on like the not wasting and creating, you know, garbage that we don't need to do with like wrapping gifts, but we'll set that aside for a second. Like it's so much more exciting to receive a gift that's wrapped than unwrapped. Yes. Where you can't see what's inside and you have to actually like peel the thing back. It's just like so fun. And that's
the anticipation when you're holding something and it's an unknown, right?
Yeah.
And our lives are that way. Like we always want to hurry up and know things, but when you're sitting in the unknown, it's full of possibility.
And questions, like really good questions.
Yes.
And curiosity. And that's, again, like innovation, right? That's where that comes from. It's not from looking out around at your industry and trying to keep up. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. Like, that's not where your answers are. You know, it's not where, which we know, but then also it's not where innovation is. Like, if you want to be creating something that's never existed before, if you want to be existing in your market, especially right now, because the world is changing and the economy is shifting and there's so much that's like, there's so much opportunity, but there's also so much, like, if you're trying to do it the old way, you probably won't, it's not going to work out very well. Like what we need right now is innovation. In every industry. And so if you're looking out at your industry and you're like, okay, let me just like do what they're doing and like try this thing. And this seems to be working for them. So let me do that, which is what most people do. because we're sitting at home alone, wondering why things aren't working, right? And getting frustrated and thinking like, well, if they can do it, I should be able to. And like, that should probably work for me. And so we often avoid the actual, the space in which the answers will emerge and come forward. And we forget to go in. And then we forget to like innovate. And then we never disrupt anything. We're not blazing a trail. We're pretending to, but we're not actually. We're just like following someone else's path within our own industry and thinking like, this should work, you know, but it doesn't. And then we're frustrated and confused. And we're like, maybe I'm just not meant to do this.
And I think we have, this is all making me think of dating, which is really interesting because that's the same thing that we do in dating where we're like,
right.
When we sit in the place of the, I don't know who my person is. I don't know when they're coming. I don't know where they're coming. We just want the answer, but we're sitting in a place of so much possibility and so much prep. Like the universe is doing so much prep with us. And then the same thing, like we feel like if I just follow these five steps or if I just go on this date or, and we want everything to be the answer, but when it comes so much better than we ever could have imagined.
I have to tell you this story because I don't know that I have, but before I met my now fiance, Jeff, well, you know, because I was taking relationship alchemy at the time and I was in another relationship and thinking, oh, I'm going to do this with this person. We're going to go through relationship alchemy together. And then quickly, it may have been after the first call. I don't remember if it was first or second. And it just became like crystal clear, like lightning bolt clarity, like, nope. Not the right person. Like, and it was so helpful to know that because I had been in this space of not knowing for so long. And I had felt like, oh, you know, we had been on and off and I had had different relationships in between. And we were back together and thinking like, okay, this is either going to work or it's not. And then we're going to know for sure if this is right or not. And there were a lot of great qualities in that relationship. And there were a lot that were not great or things that were out of alignment. And I was like, are these just the things you live with and kind of like accept and figure out and like work around? Or are these the things that like create hard forever, you know, like create a relationship that's just like frustrating forever? And I didn't know. And I, you know, got super clear about that. And then I said, you know what, I'm going to do something I've never done. And I'm going to give myself 2 months. I think I said like, I'm going to give myself 2 full months to not commit to being in a relationship because I'm like a monogamy lover. I want to find the one. I'm like hunting almost, you know, I'm like, okay, the next person I meet, that's going to be the one. And so I like gave myself this space to not choose and not decide and to sit in the unknown and to allow life to like reveal and show me options or what might be next. And then I was like completely unattached from, you know, I'll give this 2 months and then we'll see where we end up. Maybe it's none of the people I meet in these 2 months, but I'll know because I haven't like just jumped right into the next thing like I had before or gone back into an old thing and like boomeranged myself to a past relationship to avoid not knowing or feeling behind or whatever the discomfort was. So gave myself 2 months and I met awesome guys. I met awesome guys. They were all different in a lot of ways. And I kept thinking like, okay, you're not going to choose. They're going to show you like, give it the space to breathe and let them show you, let life show you who the person is, if any, here. And so it just became clear. And then at one point, Jeff and I actually went to, like, we had a lot of long walks together. It was just like our relationship was different than the others in a lot of ways. It was like a slower burn. It was less like, I was used to kind of feeling like out of my mind a little bit in relationships where it was just like super passionate or like super kind of like, oh my God, there's just something about this person that's like so like almost like an addiction feeling, like a high. And there was something about him that was just like quiet and slow and steady and different. It just felt different. And I was like, okay, noted, that's different. it feels different than what I'm used to. That could mean it's not right. It could mean, I don't know. We'll just see. So we ended up taking this trip to an Airbnb in November, a month or two after we met. And I took my dog and we rented this cabin, and it was like a magical experience. It was just so like romantic, and the leaves were falling, and it was just like this perfect fall picture. And this super cute cabin, like what a find, with a fireplace. We got this like amazing sunset that we could see from the couch on like in the Airbnb over the water. It was like insane. And there was just this moment where he was talking about something. I don't even remember what it was, but there was this moment where it just felt like, oh, like I saw it. I saw like what I was looking to feel and see and like get from life in that moment of just like, oh, you, okay, that, yes, okay, got it, noted. It was such a cool moment. And I think those are the ones where, you know, like we were saying, if you rush through, you miss the magic of the not knowing and then the knowing. And without the not knowing, we can't have the like satisfaction, like you said, of the knowing, because we have nothing to compare it to. We're just like, oh, I just like threw myself in here. I stayed in that or whatever, versus letting ourselves be flung into the unknown a little bit and then sit there and get acquainted and then feel when those lights start to turn on, versus like freaking out about sitting in the dark, but like paying attention to like, where are the lights coming on in this picture and like completing the picture. And I will always remember that moment. It was like such a clear, like, oh, it was almost like a recognition of something I didn't even know. Like I couldn't have put words around. Yeah. It was just like, oh, you, okay. And it felt the same when I saw him on a dating app. It was like, that's a husband, which why would I think that? Like there was nothing, I don't even know what that means. You know, I can't define what that is. Yeah. And he felt the same. Like, it's just really wild. And I was affirming to myself, like, I'll know there will be something where I will know, because before in other relationships, I felt like I didn't know. And I felt like maybe that's just what it is. Or maybe I'm a person who just can't know things like that or something. Like maybe there's something off in me that I can't feel that feeling that people say, you just know. And I'm like, well, I've never just known. Like, what the hell does that mean? I don't know. And I don't know. So that's all I have to go off of.
I'm so happy you shared that. I think it's one of those things in relationship that people struggle with so much. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to highlight, like, there was two important things you said there. One of them was that you hadn't had that feeling before until you did. But the other one was that leading up to that, you had been intending, I'm going to know. You've been very clearly saying, this is why I'm manifesting. All right, show it to me and the person and all the things, right? You've done all that work in relationship alchemy of calling it in. And then you were so clear, like, and I want to know this time, like when it's right, whoever it's supposed to be, whatever it is, that when I'm calling it in, like glue me in here when I'm meant to. And so I think there's a really valuable piece in that for everybody to hear also.
And then I'll say also that knowing, that initial knowing in the last, we've been together almost 2 years now. So in the last 2 years, there have been like really hard moments and big conversations and long things and triggering each other and all the stuff that is normal and comes up in relationship that nobody really prepares you for or tells you about and or gives you tools to work with. And that knowing and remembering that I intended to know and I knew and I felt that deep thing within me that felt like such a clear yes, carried us through, I think, really a lot of hard stuff that could have broken us easily and that could have just been like, oh, this is too hard, or, oh, you're revealing imperfections and this just isn't right. Or maybe this is really just, maybe we're too different or whatever. And that feeling of knowing, we always come back to, we know we're supposed to be together. Like there's something deeply bound and interwoven.
And so that gives you then the sort of like global view when you are in a difficult, triggering conversation or fight or difficult moment, mm-hmm. to say, this is just a difficult moment. This is a speed bump, right. The thing we're working through, instead of it's over. This is the end. This is the dissolution of the thing I thought was great. I was wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, so mm-hmm. it gives us this perspective when we're in those moments that are challenging, because there are growth moments.
And then there are times where it's like, wait a minute, we're fighting each other. This happened recently. We were like, why are we fighting each other so hard for the same outcome? Like we both want the same outcome, but yet we're like fighting each other so hard and so much to like try to be heard or understood. But like, we want the same outcome. We both want to be understood and we both want to understand. We both want like a harmonious relationship and we both want to be happy and we both want the other person to be happy. So like, what the hell, you know, like, can we just like drop the stuff that's in the way and like come back to that? And I think the thing about that is it takes courage and it takes a lot of like, it takes so much self-awareness of your own crap to be able to say, okay, I'm triggered. This is a situation that I can track like why that's triggering for me. I can communicate that now or later, but like right now what's needed is this, you know, right now what's needed is for me to like check my pride and ego and my fears of not being understood or heard. And to come back into like, I know that he's hurting and I'm hurting and that's why we're together. Like we can hold that and make that go away for each other, which is really special by just being like, I love you and we're fighting for the same thing. And this is really hard. And we're having trouble doing that. You know, we're having trouble like communicating it or being understood or feeling heard, and yet we want the same thing.
And I have all these questions that I was excited about, and relationships and business and the interplay and all the things, but actually now that this conversation is its own thing, where it feels like it wants us to go is, what is sustainability in relationship? Like let's chew on that for a little while. What happens if we have, right? So we want to have sustainability in our greater ecosystem with the earth. We want to have sustainability mm-hmm. in our business so that it's feeding us and not depleting us and we're not creating burnout. What does it look like if we were to create sustainability in a relationship? What would that feel like? And then how would we go about doing it?
I love that you're asking me this question, because I feel like this is the life curriculum that I've been navigating so much lately. So it's a great question. I'm not sure that I have all the answers, but I'll try. So I feel like what I've witnessed in other people's relationships and in my own past relationship is that sometimes we've talked about this in Relationship Alchemy. I think it's like one of the first things that you cover, but like all of these things that we think we're looking for in a person, like the hottest, passionate lovemaking and the, you know, 6'4", whatever, like we think we're looking for all of these pieces, qualities or attributes or features. And what we're really looking for is like, what is the experience like when I'm with this person? How do I feel? How do they, you know, like, what are the things we share in together? And I think for most of us, it's like, is this a good partner for me in life, given the things that I'm interested in, the things that I want to do, the future roles I want to play or not? Like, is it a good match? Can we do life together? And I think sometimes when there is a mismatch or a misalignment, it feels like it's really hard to do simple things together. And when you have a sustainable relationship on your hands, I think one of the ways that you know is there's like ease in the day-to-day stuff. And that doesn't mean, by the way, like that he doesn't leave his socks on the floor and he always puts things where they go, because that definitely doesn't happen for us. And that's been a conversation all the time. Like, why can't you just do this? But it's like, I think, you know, one of the other things that's coming up as I say that is that the influence that you have on one another helps you become more of who you actually want to be, or reveals more of your true nature. That I think is one of the most, like the biggest things, because in past relationships, I felt like parts of myself were being brought out that weren't really who I wanted to become. It was like an old version of me, or like a resistant part, or like a rebellious part, which, you know, all these parts are great and they're all part of me. But I feel like in my current relationship with Jeff, it's like a part of me that's like, oh, I can see how life would be later, or I can see how we might do this parenthood thing if we decide to do that. And I can see what it's like to like build a home together and tend a garden and like those kinds of things that matter, and like the values kind of matching up and merging around, like right now, something that he was excited about when we first moved in to our house was like a garden and landscaping. And now this has like evolved into like such a thing. So now we have like a native plants only situation. And he has been like connecting with his grandfather, who was kind of like estranged from their family for a while, and learning. He's like a landscape architect who's like really good, has been doing it forever. And now he's kind of finding this passion within those things and wanting to like tend the land and be a good steward of the land and bring more pollinators and help contribute to something bigger than just like, oh, I want my yard to look pretty, right? Now it's like, oh, well, we don't mow and we don't have this and we don't have that. And we only have these things. And we spend all this time going to the native plant store and not Lowe's, because they have the special stuff that we have to get to do this responsibly. And it's really cool to watch that evolution in him become like closer to what I value. Like the things that we kind of like influence in each other unbeknownst to ourselves or each other in the moment as they're happening and unfolding. It's like, oh, if you were partnered with someone else, this thing may not have been activated in you. And I think that's similar in business too. It's like within the vision of your work and your relationship with it and that sort of like dynamic dance that occurs at all times, there are parts of you that get activated that like partnered in a different business or a different career would not come up or would not be turned on, like switched on. So I think that's really interesting too. And something that I think is part of the sustainability of a relationship is like, are you supporting each other's evolution toward who you're here to become?
Oh, I love that. And it's making me think about the different phases of relationships. So first we have the when you're partnered with someone who inspires new aspects of you, who, you know, just by their viewpoint on something has you see something in a new way or explore things in a new way, instead of staying in the boring self that you've always been, not that we're boring, but, you know, really starts to open your eyes to something new. And maybe it's a new way of thinking, or maybe it's a new way of interacting with the same type of situation, or they have a different outlook on and relationship to money, or a way of traveling, or whatever it is, a hobby, that like anything. if you've got someone who helps to expand you in that way, that adds to a sustainable relationship. And mm-hmm. then I'm thinking about things that we create within our relationship on purpose, systems that we create or ways of doing things that help our relationship to become sustainable within the phase that it's in, right? Mm-hmm. So you guys had the initial phase of the relationship where you were getting to know each other and it's the courting and the falling in love and all the stuff. And you guys bought a house.
Very early, which was crazy. Like we were talking about that recently. It was like 5 months after meeting, we bought a house. Like that's actually crazy. Like we merged our lives so fast. And that period of like courting and like romance and that like young love phase was very cut short for us. And so the work of bringing that back in is kind of like where we are now, because it got very, very like practical and systematic like that, like what you're saying. Because
it needs to, right? Yeah, you need to learn how to create sustainability in being homeowners mm-hmm. and cohabitating and taking care of and upgrading and like, all the things.
This is what you're responsible for. This is what I'm responsible for. Let's try that out. Oh, there's a tweak that needs to happen. Okay, now you are going back into the office. So now I have to take these things and you take those things. And we find the dance of it, of like who's responsible for what. And I think those systems are really like key for sustainability, because it's not sustainable to just have one person doing everything, or to have one person who's, you know, especially today in like an equitable partnership where there's like mutual respect. I think that's something that also I think is really important to look at, is like, and what's sustainable for us is not necessarily sustainable for someone else in a different relationship dynamic, right? It's a totally different ecosystem. Again, it's like totally different. It's really hard to compare between. And we're often, if we're comparing, we're not seeing the whole picture. So we're not seeing like all the different dynamics and decisions at play. So I think that's very important.
Yeah. And I think that that's part of that creating that sustainability, right? And as we, mm-hmm. so we're in the phase of coming into like a whole new aspect as we're thinking about becoming parents and mm-hmm. taking on this, like, what will that look like in our lives? Whole different systems and structures, and how do we make that sustainable? And trying to think about doing these things on purpose, right? Same thing with mm-hmm. we made this big move out to Hawaii and we bought a house. And so trying to imagine like, well, how do we make this a sustainable thing within our relationship instead of just sitting on our laurels and being like, all right, well, whatever happens, we'll sort of reacting as most people do to life, just reacting to life. But we're in a totally different circumstance now, right? We don't have friends out here. We don't have the same mm-hmm. support systems. We don't have even just the same support systems for our home. Right. So we're having mm-hmm. to find all the things that we need and do home remodel and upgrade and like build a life. And how do we do that in a way that is, that doesn't fuck up our relationship?
Right.
And I grew up watching. It was amazing. Oh my gosh. There is nothing that is quite so murderous to a relationship as home renovation.
Yeah.
I watched it all the time. So I grew mm-hmm. up obviously at Blue Ox in this historic mill and worked there for a long time with my family. So people were coming in and they were buying these old Victorian homes and then mm-hmm. they were rehabbing them, right? And it sounds like this fun DIY project. It is a big project. If you think it's going to take 6 months or a year, it takes mm-hmm. 5 years. You think it's going to take this much money, it takes that much money. You think it's going to be mm-hmm. like you can do this much, you can't. It becomes such a huge deal. And what people don't realize is that it's impacting your home, which is your foundation. It's your root chakra. It's your safety. It's your foundation. This is the place that you are all the time. It's the place mm-hmm. where you're supposed to come and plug in your roots and recharge. It's your safe.
And feel safe. Yeah.
And feel safe. And it's fucked up. It's not. It's everything's chaotic. And there's, you know, walls getting torn out and whatever, plaster mm-hmm. falling. And so your whole foundation is rocky. And now you're trying to have a partnership with someone with both of your foundations being rocky. It's so intense. Mm-hmm. And I watched this from the time I was a kid. I saw this happen to people as they were our customers coming in and buying things from us. And then we would find out like they're getting a divorce and, or they, you know, they're like, this is so stressful. And I'm like, oh my God, now you're getting a divorce in the middle of this 5-year home renovation project. Like, this sounds awful.
Yeah.
So I think that creating, it's one of the things we've been talking about doing is what do we need to put into place for ourselves to create sustainability as we go through these, and we were doing very minor upgrades to the house in comparison, just like very minor, but what would make this sustainable so that doesn't mess up, or is that we can at least continue to cultivate our connection through things being unsettled as we're making a cross ocean move and our sort of foundation gets rocked by that. And I think when we go into new phases of life, right? You were talking about, you went into this new phase, you created all this sustainability. Then you had to think about like, how do we recreate the initial honeymoon romance piece? And one of my big pet peeves is that people don't, I think everyone says they understand that relationships need work, but I don't see people actually showing that.
No.
Like, you're willing to have a fight with your partner, willing to whatever, but what are you putting into this besides just your daily same shit? And I see how much people resist putting in the effort to upgrade, putting in the effort to, and I think about it like we put gas in our car, like why we don't get ashamed of our car when the gas light goes on. So why we get so ashamed of our relationship when we're like, oh, we're kind of like not, we're butting heads a little bit, or things aren't missing, or I don't feel the intense passion or love, or I'm frustrated with you, like whatever. And then we want to just bury that away and it's just going to fester. And all it's trying to tell you is like the relationship needs gas.
Like you just gotta
put some effort in.
Right. It's like we need connection deposits to build that foundation of like connection again. And I think that's true for any relationship, right? If I use business as an example, if I'm like checked out and I don't post on Instagram and I'm not in my email inbox and I'm not communicating with my, you know, assistant or whatever, and I'm not putting out a podcast, what's going to happen? The pipeline dries up, right? Like I don't have new leads. I don't feel connected. I don't feel engaged. I don't feel inspired. I don't feel like I understand why I'm doing what I'm doing. Same thing in your relationship. When you're not, when you're like checked out, you're not putting any deposits in of energy, attention, love, care, affection, whatever. It's like a bank account, right? Like if you just let it run out, it will. You know, you got to be like putting new deposits in consistently so that when something happens, because it will, life, you know, comes and knocks it down by half, you're not below zero. You've got like a healthy balance of connection there in that account, metaphorically.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I love the account, because I do think that if we haven't been putting deposits in, and then what really gets interesting is then we don't want to be the one to do it. Then we think it's all on them. Well, they haven't been. I'm not putting anything in because I don't see them putting anything in. It's a joint account.
Yeah. It's a joint account, and you're both making withdrawals. Yeah.
It all comes back. Like it all feeds you. It's all benefiting you. So like go put a bunch in there and watch how amazing your relationship gets. And guess what happens? Mm-hmm. Your partner's going to start depositing too. That's how this works. But we sit back and just expect that they're going to do it. And we pout and we get mad and resentful instead of understanding that when was the last time you put effort in? When was the last time you poured something in? And it has to be continuous. This has to keep going. Mm-hmm. When the gas goes on, you have to keep putting gas in the car. You don't get to a point in your car where you're like, I'm done. Right. You never have to pull it again. It's going to drive forever.
Right. Even if it's an electric car, you still got to plug that thing
in. You still have to plug it in.
We can't get past it. It's a practice. It's a constant like tending. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my gosh. Well, this went in a different direction than I expected.
But I love it.
And more fun. So I'm going to start thinking about this sustainability and relationships. This is a fun way. I like this lens.
Yeah. Right. Because it's like we do, that's what it's really about, right? It's not just about like, oh, especially for those of us who want like an actual lifelong, hopefully, partnership. It's not, oh, can I get laid? You know, like that's a short-term vision. We don't need it to be very sustainable if that's the goal. But if you're in it for the long haul, you want it to be sustainable, and you want to know that your partner is someone that, you know, is also on that same wavelength of it being that way for both of you, because that it's what sustains the rest of your life. It affects everything. And if we think it doesn't, we're fooling ourselves, right? Like, I know if I have a challenging day in my relationship, the way that I show up otherwise is really different. And if I have a challenging day in my relationship, I know I need extra self-care, or I know I need something different than maybe what I had planned. So it's like, how can we rebalance the ecosystem even when it's like tipped in a certain direction? Where are the elements that we can introduce to balance and create sustainability? I'll say this too, because I think this is maybe helpful to just like wrap it up. Anytime that we want to continue to evolve, the way in which we do it and the approach that we take needs to keep sustainability in mind, right? If we want to evolve as a human population, then we need sustainability to be a factor. If we want to evolve in our relationship and continue to, you know, as life continues to change and throw different things our way, or we become parents, or we grandparents, or employed, or full-time childcare, or whatever the things are, right? Like changing jobs, changing locations, changing all the things. Life is constantly changing. And so if we think that a relationship is something that is a static thing, we're really wrong and we're missing the point, right? Like it's a dynamic, constantly evolving process. And so it has to be done sustainably and in relationship with another human also, whose things are always changing and they're always evolving, then it's really important that you're on the same page about what's the direction we're both evolving in this moment, and how do we make that sustainable for both of us?
Yes. And I want to remind us too, that this is something so important for us to think about when we're standing in a place of single and wanting to call in a relationship, because you're about to go through a really big transition in your life. And if you can be thinking about the sustainability of this relationship as you're calling something in, being willing and ready to ebb with the tide, so to speak, like to ride this shift, instead of saying, this is my life and a person, I want this like long-term partner to come in and just wedge themselves somewhere into my concrete life, is not very realistic. So to be in the fluidity of knowing that things will shift and change, that in itself is a sustainability sort of mindset.
Yeah, there's so much there. It's like, also, I think with single and then looking to call in a relationship, it's often like similar to what we talked about before. These different aspects of us when we meet a certain person are going to get like toggled on and off, right? So something we think is really important, like top priority, when this new energy is introduced into our life, maybe it's like, we couldn't care less. Or maybe it's like, oh, I could never see myself becoming a parent. And then you meet this person and you're like, oh, in this way with this person and this dynamic, okay, that's different. It changes it, right? And I think we often don't realize like how much introducing a new factor really changes everything. Like it's all evolving at all times. And I think that like when you are single, being in a state of mind where you're like, okay, I know that things are about to change. So one, how can I prepare myself to be ready for things to change and not super clinging and rigidly attached to how they have been or what I think they should be or whatever, but also just remembering that's the whole thing with choosing someone also, or feeling the knowing. It's like often they come in a package that you were like, you, huh? that's funny. Like, I didn't expect that. Like, I didn't expect you to be from that place or look like that or wear those clothes or whatever, you know, like whatever the package is, or like work at that place or have that kind of career, you know, or like watch football every Sunday. That's so weird. Like, I didn't expect that.
I really can't wait for our men to meet. They're just so similar. They're going to have so much fun together. They'll be able to laugh over all the weird things we try to explain to them.
Yeah. Oh my God. We'll have to have them do like a talk as if they were us and record it. Oh. And then have us do the same.
That like would imitate. Be amazing.
That would be so great.
Thank you so much for having, I've just had the best couple hours with you. Thank you.
Me too. Thank you for having me. I hope this all made sense.
I'm sure they'll find the nuggets in here that are the things they were meant to hear as great. Always happens. And selfishly, it was really fun for me.
Me too.
So for everybody listening, come and join us in Relationship Alchemy so you can attract a badass partner like Emily did in record time. Because yes. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah. And learn about yourself in the process and like clean up your own stuff. Because that's really the hardest part.
That is the hardest part.
And if you start a relationship already being in the practice of that, you're already like far ahead.
Oh, 10 steps ahead. Not to carry all of your old baggage and just recreate the exact same relationships you've been in.
Thank God for that. Yeah.
Yep. We've all done that.
Yep. And we can't not unless we're putting in, again, like a new deposit into this account of our relationships, even before having a partner. So thank you. Love.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Beautiful rest of the day.
Thank you all for listening. I hope you'll join us for Relationship Alchemy. I teach this 7-week course live once a year, and enrollment is now open. This is not your average relationship course. This is an opportunity to get into the energetics of your love life and shift things to be the way that you dream of. If you're in a relationship and ready for a reset, ready to fall more in love, ready to call forth all that you desire from this partnership, or if you are single and ready to call in that relationship of your wildest dreams without repeating old patterns or carrying forward old baggage, join us for Relationship Alchemy. You don't have to take my word for it. Here's the way one participant described it. This will help heal your relationship without having to dig up all your shit and therapize your way through. It is soul level healing. All you have to do is show up. So if that sounds good to you, there's a link in the show notes, or just head to the website caraviana.com for the details. With the deepest celebration of you and your capacity to love. We'll see you next week.